Cambridge Assessment International Education, Cambridge IGCSE English as a Second Language, Paper 2, Listening. Exercise 1. You will hear 8 short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear each recording twice. Question 1. What activity would the man prefer to do with his friend on holiday?
David, I've been thinking about your suggestion of going rock climbing while we're on holiday next month. We can go ahead with it if you really want, but I'm not great with heights, so wondered about learning to dive instead. The sea there's warm and clear, and as we've done loads of windsurfing together already, I thought it'd be something new for us both to try. The other alternative's horse riding in the mountains. It seems a shame to go all that way to try something we can do close to home, though. Anyway, call me back. David, I've been thinking about your suggestion of going rock climbing while we're on holiday next month. We can go ahead with it if you really want, but I'm not great with heights, so wondered about learning to dive instead. The sea there's warm and clear, and as we've done loads of windsurfing together already, I thought it'd be something new for us both to try. The other alternative's horse riding in the mountains. It seems a shame to go all that way to try something we can do close to home, though. Anyway, call me back.
Question 2. Which dish is the boy helping to make?
So, your next job is to cut up some tomatoes.
Okay. I prefer it when the slices are thin.
Me too. While you're doing that, I'll make some salad to go with it.
I'd love to be able to cook curry too, but it's probably quite complicated.
Certainly more so than making this pizza, but I'm sure you'd manage. Do you want some pieces of chicken on it before we add the cheese?
That'd be nice. I'm so glad we chose to have this instead of a burger and fries.
Yes, it's looking great. So, your next job is to cut up some tomatoes.
Okay. I prefer it when the slices are thin.
Me too. While you're doing that, I'll make some salad to go with it.
I'd love to be able to cook curry too, but it's probably quite complicated.
Certainly more so than making this pizza, but I'm sure you'd manage. Do you want some pieces of chicken on it before we add the cheese?
That'd be nice. I'm so glad we chose to have this instead of a burger and fries.
Yes, it's looking great.
Question 3. What has the woman just been doing?
Hi, Fiona. Hey, having your hair cut short like that really suits you.
Thanks. I had it done at a new salon that's opened in the shopping centre. It wasn't even that expensive.
Sounds good. I'll have to check it out sometime.
Sorry, Steve, but I've got to rush. The tennis match I organised with Daniela took longer than I thought, and we only finished a few minutes ago, so I'm running late because of that. I'm supposed to be at the dentist's now.
Well, I won't hold you up anymore then. See you later.
See you.
Hi, Fiona. Hey, having your hair cut short like that really suits you.
Thanks. I had it done at a new salon that's opened in the shopping centre. It wasn't even that expensive.
Sounds good. I'll have to check it out sometime.
Sorry, Steve, but I've got to rush. The tennis match I organised with Daniela took longer than I thought, and we only finished a few minutes ago, so I'm running late because of that. I'm supposed to be at the dentist's now.
Well, I won't hold you up anymore then. See you later.
See you.
Question 4. Which painting did the girl like most?
Did you enjoy the class trip to the art gallery?
Yes,
although I liked some pictures more than others. I mean, a bowl of fruit's hardly the most exciting painting, is it?
I'm guessing the strange one with the shapes and lines was low down on your list of favourites too.
Correct. And what do you think was at the top?
The one of the city, because I know you've been to the place in the picture.
Right again. I loved that old painting of the Queen as well. Just not quite as much.
Did you enjoy the class trip to the art gallery?
Yes, although I liked some pictures more than others. I mean, a bowl of fruit's hardly the most exciting painting, is it?
I'm guessing the strange one with the shapes and lines was low down on your list of favourites too.
Correct. And what do you think was at the top?
The one of the city, because I know you've been to the place in the picture.
Right again. I loved that old painting of the Queen as well. Just not quite as much.
Question 5. Which film do the friends decide to watch?
Which film do you fancy seeing?
We could go for science fiction. I'm not really in the mood for aliens and spaceships, though.
Me neither. This one looks interesting, though. It's the story of how a rich family lost all their money in 18th century France.
I certainly haven't seen anything like that for a while. Let's go for it, especially as we've seen all the current horror movies.
Yes, because we're both really into them. I don't suppose you've changed your mind about musicals.
Not sure I ever will, to be honest.
Which film do you fancy seeing?
We could go for science fiction. I'm not really in the mood for aliens and spaceships, though.
Me neither. This one looks interesting, though. It's the story of how a rich family lost all their money in 18th century France.
I certainly haven't seen anything like that for a while. Let's go for it, especially as we've seen all the current horror movies.
Yes, because we're both really into them. I don't suppose you've changed your mind about musicals.
Not sure I ever will, to be honest.
Question 6. Where will the woman work in her new job?
Hi, I'm so excited. I've just got a new job. I had an interview at the Grand Theatre last week for the role of pianist for the musical production that's on there, and heard I was selected this morning. All that hard work at music school has paid off. Thankfully, the days of me playing piano at Marco's restaurant twice a week are coming to an end. I'd have preferred the other job I went for, playing piano on one of those huge cruise ships, but you can't have everything, I guess. Hi, I'm so excited. I've just got a new job. I had an interview at the Grand Theatre last week for the role of pianist for the musical production that's on there, and heard I was selected this morning. All that hard work at music school has paid off. Thankfully, the days of me playing piano at Marco's restaurant twice a week are coming to an end. I'd have preferred the other job I went for, playing piano on one of those huge cruise ships, but you can't have everything, I guess.
Question 7. What has the boy forgotten to bring on the bike ride?
Why have you stopped?
I'm checking in my bag because I think I've forgotten something. Hang on. It might have got wrapped up in my towel and swimming trunks. No sign of it. So we'll have to forget about going to the pool because I've left my lock in the garage. It won't be safe to leave our bikes without it.
We can still have a picnic, as long as you've got your sandwich, of course.
You know I'd never leave that at home. It'll be fine to leave the bikes near the picnic blanket.
Why have you stopped?
I'm checking in my bag because I think I've forgotten something. Hang on. It might have got wrapped up in my towel and swimming trunks. No sign of it. so we'll have to forget about going to the pool because I've left my lock in the garage. It won't be safe to leave our bikes without it.
We can still have a picnic, as long as you've got your sandwich, of course.
You know I'd never leave that at home. It'll be fine to leave the bikes near the picnic blanket.
Question 8. What will the students do in the lesson?
Okay, listen everyone. We're continuing with our topic of the life cycles of bees. Today you're going to use some of the notes you took while you were watching the video about this, as well as the observations you made when you were watching bees collect food from flowers to create a visual display for the classroom. This should show the different parts of the bee's body, along with a short explanation of what each part is for. Researching online to produce a comparison of different bee species worldwide will be this week's homework task. Okay, listen everyone. We're continuing with our topic of the life cycles of bees. Today, you're going to use some of the notes you took while you were watching the video about this, as well as the observations you made when you were watching bees collect food from flowers to create a visual display for the classroom. This should show the different parts of the bee's body, along with a short explanation of what each part is for. Researching online to produce a comparison of different bee species worldwide will be this week's homework task.
That is the end of exercise 1. Now turn to exercise 2. Exercise 2. You will hear 5 short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear each recording twice. You will hear a girl called Viola giving a class presentation about a tree planting charity she volunteers for. Now look at questions 9 and 10.
My presentation today is about volunteering for Planet Breathe, a tree planting charity. I'd wanted to become more environmentally active for ages, and one day noticed there were 10 trees in a nearby park where there should have been hundreds. I immediately checked online for tree planting charities and found a film clip about Planet Breathe, in which a professor of plant biology explained the importance of trees. I go tree planting every week now. Last time it was raining, which most people would see as negative, but it made the soil softer and planting easier. We planted near some huge old industrial buildings that I'd never seen before. The planting took forever, which I could have done without, but it was really worth it. My presentation today is about volunteering for Planet Breathe, a tree planting charity. I'd wanted to become more environmentally active for ages, and one day noticed there were 10 trees in a nearby park where there should have been hundreds. I immediately checked online for tree planting charities and found a film clip about Planet Breathe, in which a professor of plant biology explained the importance of trees. I go tree planting every week now. Last time it was raining, which most people would see as negative, but it made the soil softer and planting easier. We planted near some huge old industrial buildings that I'd never seen before. The planting took forever, which I could have done without, but it was really worth it.
You will hear 2 school students discussing a geography project they're working on together. Now look at questions 11 and 12.
How's your part of our geography project going?
Slowly. My dad's hurt his leg, nothing serious, but it's meant I've been doing some of the stuff he'd normally do because Mum works full-time. Anyway, I've hardly been able to keep up to date with the usual homework, never mind the geography project. I'm not sure what to do.
It just wouldn't be right for me to do any of it for you. And getting it all done this weekend's not an option, because I know how important your drama classes are to you. I'd email Mr. Collins and explain the situation. I'm sure he'll understand and allow us a few extra days to hand it in.
Okay, let's do that.
How's your part of our geography project going?
Slowly. My dad's hurt his leg, nothing serious, but it's meant I've been doing some of the stuff he'd normally do because Mum works full-time. Anyway, I've hardly been able to keep up to date with the usual homework, never mind the geography project. I'm not sure what to do.
It just wouldn't be right for me to do any of it for you, and getting it all done this weekend's not an option, because I know how important your drama classes are to you. I'd email Mr. Collins and explain the situation. I'm sure he'll understand and allow us a few extra days to hand it in.
Okay, let's do that.
You will hear two friends talking about a birthday party they both went to. Now look at questions 13 and 14.
Helga's party was great.
I couldn't believe how many different things there were to eat.
By the time I got there, the only choice was between cake and crisps. It's a shame it didn't go on later. It was time to go home before I knew it.
I was hoping it had ended at 11, not 9:30. The DJ put some fantastic stuff on, though.
If you're into rock, which I can't say I am. Anyway, Helga got loads of presents.
Yeah. It's a shame the computer game I'd wanted to get her was out of stock, but she loves fantasy novels like the one I ended up buying her.
And getting her jewellery's risky because she's already got so much. Helga's party was great.
I couldn't believe how many different things there were to eat.
By the time I got there, the only choice was between cake and crisps. It's a shame it didn't go on later. It was time to go home before I knew it.
I was hoping it had ended at 11, not 9:30. The DJ put some fantastic stuff on, though.
If you're into rock, which I can't say I am. Anyway, Helga got loads of presents.
Yeah. It's a shame the computer game I'd wanted to get her was out of stock, but she loves fantasy novels like the one I ended up buying her.
And getting her jewellery's risky because she's already got so much.
You will hear a man talking about his fashion blog. Now look at questions 15 and 16.
How's your fashion blog going?
I've only uploaded a few posts, so I've received very little feedback so far, but I'm pleased with the blog in general. The layout and background colour need some sorting out, but it'll do for now, I suppose. It still amazes me that it took just 3 hours to get it working. After all, I'm not very technical.
Where do your ideas for posts come from?
I live in a fashionable city, so the simplest way is to walk around town while paying attention to the outfits that everyone's got on. I don't have time to travel hundreds of miles to the latest shows, and stealing ideas from other online sources, well, just isn't my style.
How's your fashion blog going?
I've only uploaded a few posts, so I've received very little feedback so far, but I'm pleased with the blog in general. The layout and background colour need some sorting out, but it'll do for now, I suppose. It still amazes me that it took just 3 hours to get it working. After all, I'm not very technical.
Where do your ideas for posts come from?
I live in a fashionable city, so the simplest way is to walk around town while paying attention to the outfits that everyone's got on. I don't have time to travel hundreds of miles to the latest shows, and stealing ideas from other online sources, well, just isn't my style.
You will hear a girl telling a friend about a snowboarding holiday with her family. Now look at questions 17 and 18.
Did you have a good time snowboarding?
I did. Worryingly, there was hardly any snow at the resort when my parents booked the holiday, but it finally came the day before we set off. Arriving 6 hours late after a technical problem with the plane was irritating, but for once, I actually managed to avoid forgetting something vital, like I usually do.
So, is snowboarding hard?
As a beginner, going downhill's easy, but slowing down at the bottom's a different matter. Getting used to the ski lifts that pull you back to the top's tricky too the first few times. The slopes get really busy though, so not crashing into other snowboarders or skiers is my main issue these days.
Did you have a good time snowboarding?
I did. Worryingly, there was hardly any snow at the resort when my parents booked the holiday, but it finally came the day before we set off. Arriving 6 hours late after a technical problem with the plane was irritating, but for once, I actually managed to avoid forgetting something vital, like I usually do.
So, is snowboarding hard?
As a beginner, going downhill's easy, but slowing down at the bottom's a different matter. Getting used to the ski lifts that pull you back to the top's tricky too the first few times. The slopes get really busy though, so not crashing into other snowboarders or skiers is my main issue these days.
That is the end of exercise 2. Now turn to exercise 3. Exercise 3. You will hear an art teacher called Helen giving a talk about the Sand Life Sand Sculpture Festival. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the talk twice. Now look at questions 19 to 26.
Hi, I'm Helen. My talk today's about the Sand Life Sand Sculpture Festival. There are many such festivals around the world, especially in the United States, but Sand Life's the biggest, taking place in southern Spain annually. The Sand Sculpture Exhibition in Bang Seng during Thailand's Great Water Festival is also well worth visiting, by the way. So, how big is it? Well, it attracts loads of visitors every year, 60,000 to be precise, who admire sculptures formed from 35,000 tons of sand, which stretch across a 15,000 square metre site. Sand from nearby lakes is added to that found on the beach at the festival site to make the sculptures. You might think this is to prevent damage to the beach and the wildlife living in that environment. There's a more practical explanation, though, as such a mixture provides better protection against the effects of the wind than pure beach sand. So artists know their work will stay in great shape once they've created it, however detailed or simple their designs are. A similar number of works of art are on display each year. Approximately 60 artists from over 40 countries worldwide come together to produce the 110 sculptures that form the exhibition at the festival. Each year has a different theme, so the subject of the sculptures changes. One year it might be music, and the next, ancient wonders of the world, such as the pyramids and other well-known locations. Figures that we all know and love from films, novels, and cartoons make up most of what's been displayed over the years, although creatures such as tigers and monkeys are well represented too. Now, let me tell you a little about my own experiences of visiting the Sandlife Festival. I first went in 2014, and nothing could have prepared me for how unique the sculptures were. The massive size of many statues made them extremely impressive too. One or two left me guessing as to what they were, but for the most part, the subject was easy to identify. The last time I went to the festival was something of a disappointment. The public only had access to around 3/4 of the site, as maintenance was being done on the rest after a storm the previous week. Some of the huge numbers of visitors that day were quite angry about it, actually. There are some suggestions I'd make, should you be lucky enough to visit the festival yourselves. I attended a workshop there to learn how to produce sand sculptures, but they're aimed largely at children, so might not be for everyone. Given the size of the site and summer heat, renting one of the little electric cars there is well worth it, though. That'll allow you to wander around the site at leisure without needing the services of a guide.
Now you will hear the talk again.
Hi, I'm Helen. My talk today's about the Sandlife Sand Sculpture Festival. There are many such festivals around the world, especially in the United States, but Sandlife's the biggest, taking place in southern Spain annually. The sand sculpture exhibition in Bang Seng during Thailand's Great Water Festival is also well worth visiting, by the way. So, how big is it? Well, it attracts loads of visitors every year, 60,000 to be precise, who admire sculptures formed from 35,000 tons of sand, which stretch across a 15,000 square metre site. Sand from nearby lakes is added to that found on the beach at the festival site to make the sculptures. You might think this is to prevent damage to the beach and the wildlife living in that environment. There's a more practical explanation, though, as such a mixture provides better protection against the effects of the wind than pure beach sand. So artists know their work will stay in great shape once they've created it, however detailed or simple their designs are. A similar number of works of art are on display each year. Approximately 60 artists from over 40 countries worldwide come together to produce the 110 sculptures that form the exhibition at the festival. Each year has a different theme, so the subject of the sculptures changes. One year it might be music, and the next, ancient wonders of the world, such as the pyramids and other well-known locations. Figures that we all know and love from films, novels, and cartoons make up most of what's been displayed over the years, although creatures such as tigers and monkeys are well represented too. Now, let me tell you a little about my own experiences of visiting the Sandlife Festival. I first went in 2014, and nothing could have prepared me for how unique the sculptures were. The massive size of many statues made them extremely impressive too.
One or two left me guessing as to what they were, but for the most part, the subject was easy to identify. The last time I went to the festival was something of a disappointment. The public only had access to around 3/4 of the site, as maintenance was being done on the rest after a storm the previous week. Some of the huge numbers of visitors that day were quite angry about it, actually. There are some suggestions I'd make, should you be lucky enough to visit the festival yourselves. I attended a workshop there to learn how to produce sand sculptures, but they're aimed largely at children, so might not be for everyone. Given the size of the site and summer heat, renting one of the little electric cars there is well worth it, though. That'll allow you to wander around the site at leisure without needing the services of a guide.
That is the end of exercise 3. Now turn to exercise 4. Exercise 4. You will hear 6 people talking about a documentary series on the environment called Green Tide. For questions 27 to 32, choose from the list A to H which idea each speaker expresses. Write the correct letter A to H on the answer line. Use each letter only once. There are 2 extra letters which you do not need to use. You will hear the recordings twice. Now read statements A to H. Speaker 1.
With music provided by one of the world's most admired composers and a different environmental focus in each episode, I'm not surprised the viewing figures for Green Tide are so high. I can't think of anyone better than Professor Margaret Newburn to provide explanations for the stunning images that appear throughout the series either. I just hope people pay attention to how the Earth can be made a better place to live in and take positive action as a result.
Speaker 2.
I can understand why people have been so enthusiastic about Green Tide, with the ever-popular Margaret Newburn ensuring that more people watch environmental programs than ever before. Perhaps I'm alone in finding her quite difficult to understand, but what concerned me even more was how the series stuck to predictable issues like pollution while failing to consider equally serious matters such as overfishing. That said, the use of contemporary classical music in the series was an inspired choice.
Speaker 3.
My parents had never watched a series like Green Tide before and loved Professor Margaret Newburn's presenting style. They're already having fewer showers and cycling to work as a result. I've covered the majority of topics the series focuses on at school, though. While I'm not against dramatic music in documentaries such as Green Tide, the programme makers could at least have included the genuine noise of waves crashing against rocks, for example, rather than some ridiculous studio-produced alternative.
Speaker 4.
I'm delighted that, finally, millions of people are choosing to watch a series about the environment, having never watched this kind of program before. There are now so many different environmental issues that we're all facing, so seeing the damage we're still doing to our beautiful planet shown in such detail had me shouting in frustration at the TV during many episodes. Because of that, I didn't even notice the terrible sound effects that several classmates have commented on.
Speaker 5.
Having studied many of the topics covered in Green Tide at school, I'd already started using less electricity and water and get really annoyed when friends and family don't do the same. I'm sure that with a bigger audience, documentaries like Green Tide would have more of an impact. Perhaps having someone less arrogant presenting the programme would help. I can't say I agree with the numerous complaints from viewers about how false some of the added sounds were, though.
Speaker 6.
In my opinion, Green Tide's by far the best series about the environment I've ever seen, and if this doesn't change people's habits to more environmentally friendly alternatives, then I don't know what will. My one complaint about it is the soundtrack. The scenes of environmental destruction we witness throughout many of the episodes speak for themselves, and we just don't need to hear anything else to make them more dramatic, including the presenter endlessly talking.
Now you will hear the six speakers again. Speaker 1.
With music provided by one of the world's most admired composers, and a different environmental focus in each episode, I'm not surprised the viewing figures for Green Tide are so high. I can't think of anyone better than Professor Margaret Newburn to provide explanations for the stunning images that appear throughout the series either. I just hope people pay attention to how the Earth can be made a better place to live in and take positive action as a result.
Speaker 2.
I can understand why people have been so enthusiastic about Green Tide, with the ever-popular Margaret Newburn ensuring that more people watch environmental programmes than ever before. Perhaps I'm alone in finding her quite difficult to understand, but what concerned me even more was how the series stuck to predictable issues like pollution, while failing to consider equally serious matters such as overfishing. That said, the use of contemporary classical music in the series was an inspired choice.
Speaker 3.
My parents had never watched a series like Green Tide before and loved Professor Margaret Newburn's presenting style. They're already having fewer showers and cycling to work as a result. I've covered the majority of topics the series focuses on at school, though. While I'm not against dramatic music in documentaries such as Green Tide, the programme makers could at least have included the genuine noise of waves crashing against rocks, for example, rather than some ridiculous studio-produced alternative.
Speaker 4.
I'm delighted that, finally, millions of people are choosing to watch a series about the environment, having never watched this kind of program before. There are now so many different environmental issues that we're all facing, so seeing the damage we're still doing to our beautiful planet shown in such detail had me shouting in frustration at the TV during many episodes. Because of that, I didn't even notice the terrible sound effects that several classmates have commented on.
Speaker 5.
Having studied many of the topics covered in Green Tide at school, I'd already started using less electricity and water, and get really annoyed when friends and family don't do the same. I'm sure that with a bigger audience, documentaries like Green Tide would have more of an impact. Perhaps having someone less arrogant presenting the programme would help. I can't say I agree with the numerous complaints from viewers about how false some of the added sounds were, though.
Speaker 6.
In my opinion, Green Tide's by far the best series about the environment I've ever seen. And if this doesn't change people's habits to more environmentally friendly alternatives, then I don't know what will. My one complaint about it is the soundtrack. The scenes of environmental destruction we witness throughout many of the episodes speak for themselves, and we just don't need to hear anything else to make them more dramatic, including the presenter endlessly talking.
That is the end of exercise 4. Now turn to exercise 5. Exercise 5. You will hear an interview with a professional opera singer called Miroslav Antonin. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the interview twice. Now look at questions 33 to 40.
I'm joined today by professional opera singer Miroslav Antonin. Miroslav, when did you know you wanted to become a singer?
My family isn't musical at all, apart from a great aunt who made a record years ago. It got played at every family occasion and was pretty scratched. Anyway, one day my school organised a music talent contest and I decided to sing an old pop song. The amazed looks on my teachers' faces convinced me of the quality of my singing voice, and that was it.
Did you sing in a band to begin with then?
Well, like many teenagers, I loved rock music, so formed a band with some schoolmates. There was something wrong from the start, though. It was like my singing didn't belong in a rock band. The sound was too pure and rich, so I left, much to the disappointment of the guitarist and drummer. I've maintained my appreciation of that kind of music into my 30s, though.
Did you go straight into singing opera after that?
Yes, thanks to a music teacher who thought I'd be good at it. Before long, I was performing in front of an audience for the first time, and although there was lots of clapping and cheering at the end, I knew I hadn't sung to the best of my ability, no matter how many kind comments I received from the director and other performers.
After studying at music college, you worked in the USA. How was that?
It was a wonderful experience. The tutors there know that how well you control your voice is dependent on the precise timing and quantity of air you take into your lungs, so concentrate greatly on that, which helped me no end. I worked on my facial expressions and body language too, but to a much lesser extent. I'm not quite sure how, but the strength of my voice increased slightly while I was there too.
How important is it for opera singers to stay in shape?
Very. Singing in opera is highly physical, and I can't perform to the required standard if I'm not eating and drinking the right things. Key to staying healthy for me, both mentally and physically, is getting to the gym each day. I always seem to keep stress levels down and have a good night's sleep if I can manage to do that.
Which aspects of your job do you find difficult?
If I could give any part of it up, it'd be the paperwork. You know, the money side of things and the documents committing me to each job. Coping with being far from family and friends for months on end just isn't an issue compared to that. I occasionally get fed up with the hours of daily singing I do to keep my voice in shape, but not to a great degree.
What are your future plans?
So many opera singers have tried and failed to get into acting in films that I'll perhaps avoid going down that path. And it's a similar story with writing music. It requires a different skill set. Someone I worked with recently suggested directing an opera, as they felt I had the right kind of personality. So I've been giving that some serious thought.
And finally, any advice for the next generation of opera singers?
It might seem an odd suggestion, but before you invest money in expensive singing lessons, I mean, I had over 50 before I found someone I was happy with, I'd go to lots of operas to make sure it's definitely what you want to do. Even if you're in a rural location, there should be a few operatic societies that regularly put on operas there.
Thanks, Miroslav.
Now you will hear the interview again.
I'm joined today by professional opera singer Miroslav Antonin. Miroslav, when did you know you wanted to become a singer?
My family isn't musical at all, apart from a great aunt who made a record years ago. It got played at every family occasion and was pretty scratched. Anyway, one day my school organised a music talent contest, and I decided to sing an old pop song. The amazed looks on my teachers' faces convinced me of the quality of my singing voice, and that was it.
Did you sing in a band to begin with then?
Well, like many teenagers, I loved rock music, so formed a band with some schoolmates. There was something wrong from the start, though. It was like my singing didn't belong in a rock band. The sound was too pure and rich. So I left, much to the disappointment of the guitarist and drummer. I've maintained my appreciation of that kind of music into my 30s, though.
Did you go straight into singing opera after that?
Yes, thanks to a music teacher who thought I'd be good at it. Before long, I was performing in front of an audience for the first time, and although there was lots of clapping and cheering at the end, I knew I hadn't sung to the best of my ability. No matter how many kind comments I received from the director and other performers.
After studying at music college, you worked in the USA. How was that?
It was a wonderful experience. The tutors there know that how well you control your voice is dependent on the precise timing and quantity of air you take into your lungs, so concentrate greatly on that, which helped me no end. I worked on my facial expressions and body language too, but to a much lesser extent. I'm not quite sure how, but the strength of my voice increased slightly while I was there too.
How important is it for opera singers to stay in shape?
Very. Singing in opera is highly physical, and I can't perform to the required standard if I'm not eating and drinking the right things. Key to staying healthy for me, both mentally and physically, is getting to the gym each day. I always seem to keep stress levels down and have a good night's sleep if I can manage to do that.
Which aspects of your job do you find difficult?
If I could give any part of it up, it'd be the paperwork. You know, the money side of things and the documents committing me to each job. Coping with being far from family and friends for months on end just isn't an issue compared to that. I occasionally get fed up with the hours of daily singing I do to keep my voice in shape, but not to a great degree.
What are your future plans?
So many opera singers have tried and failed to get into acting in films that I'll perhaps avoid going down that path. And it's a similar story with writing music. It requires a different skill set. Someone I worked with recently suggested directing an opera, as they felt I had the right kind of personality. So I've been giving that some serious thought.
And finally, any advice for the next generation of opera singers?
It might seem an odd suggestion, but before you invest money in expensive singing lessons, I mean, I had over 50 before I found someone I was happy with, I'd go to lots of operas to make sure it's definitely what you want to do. Even if you're in a rural location, there should be a few operatic societies that regularly put on operas there.
Thanks, Miroslav.
That is the end of exercise 5. You now have 6 minutes to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. I will remind you when there is 1 minute left. have 1 more minute left. That is the end of the examination.